I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Easy to find me on there. Facebook, Twitter at Ryan Recker. Joining us now, the CEO of Power the Future, Daniel Turner. Thank you for coming on to St. Louis Radio.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
I was starting to see the realization that these campaign promises, hey, oh man, we're going to have every car is going to be electric. We're all going to look like California. Everything's going to be great. There seems to be a little backpedaling. And I think part of the precursor is that the auto industry realized that these cars are sitting on the lots for 3 months and the demand is just not there right now. So we're starting to see, oh boy, this is a bad campaign stance for us. And it seems like the Kamala Harris administration, at least wannabe, were backing away from that. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, the EV mandates have disappeared, and now Kamala saying she no longer supports them. It's curious because her administration is still pushing them. According to an executive order by President Biden, half of all cars have to be electric vehicles. Half of all cars that are sold have to be electric vehicles by the year 2030. Well, the administration hasn't rescinded that, and Kamala now says she doesn't agree with it. It'd be curious to see if she actually keeps it in place. I'm not sure how you enforce that. So imagine we're in the year 2031, and now you're a car dealer. You've sold five combustion engine cars. Can you not sell a sixth until you sell five EVs? Like, how do you actually enforce that? So again, these are the types of green policies that people espouse when it's politically popular. But now that she is in a tough race, especially in places like Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania, where a lot of these plants are located, she's backpedaled. So it makes you wonder, what's the actual support for a lot of these green initiatives to begin with?
It's so interesting, too, because, you know, the reality that you find is if the people are actually buying it, and you find that a lot of people are just not interested when they realize, okay, these things got problems. And, you know, I'm sure it hurts EVs when you see the Cybertruck out there, a complete, man, has that been faltering? And, you know, you see the things like, okay, you got the floodwaters coming down south and these electric batteries are lighting on fire. Or, you know, you take something through a car wash, it's bricking the vehicle. Like, okay, it seems like these things got a long way to go. And when politicians are telling you, well, you're just going to have to take it, I don't think people react positively to that. And I don't know if this is the number one thing that people are going to be voting on, but it is embarrassing to think that politicians and the government are going to try to force this upon people. They don't want it.
Exactly. And look, I'm not opposed to buying an EV. I believe in freedom. Buy whatever car you want, whatever fits your lifestyle and your family's needs, etc. But we're not going to get a better EV product if the government forces you to buy them, right? We're not helping the EV markets by mandating them. Look, one example is the Ford F-150 Lightning. It's a cool electric truck. Joe Biden drove it around the parking lot and touted it. But, you know, I have a farm here in rural Virginia where I'm calling you from, so I know a good thing about vehicles and what farm needs are. The Ford F-150 Lightning, I believe it was Car and Driver magazine, they hooked one up to an empty two-horse trailer, and after 80 miles, it was dead. Well, you know, I have a sheep farm. I haul thousands of pounds of sheep regularly. I need to go more than 80 miles. So what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to wait 5 hours to charge this baby up again? So it doesn't make sense. It looks great if you want to throw your gym bag in the back if your wife's Miata is in the shop or something. But for farmers, a Ford F-150 Lightning is not a practical vehicle, and it's outrageously expensive. So why are they forcing you to buy one? I'm not saying the Ford F-150 Lightning one day could not possibly be a great vehicle. But right now it is not, compared to what a combustion engine F-150 does. And government forcing it on the consumer is not going to make it a better product.
Let's talk about some of these other methods of energy that we should be looking at right now. And, you know, during the Trump administration, you heard a lot about energy independence, how important it would be for the United States not to have to rely on the whim of an OPEC or some of these other countries providing this crude oil or any type of energy to us because, hey, they're the ones that get to dictate the terms. We don't want to be under their thumb. And how important that is, you know, his message to other countries, you don't want this either. And they laughed at him and scoffed at him and how that came back to bite him. So here we are. Energy, the cost of it, it impacts so many different aspects of our lives. To the way that we basically, we look at housing and energy are like the two things that drive these big inflation problems that we're having. So now we're looking at it and, okay, you have Donald Trump out there and saying, you got to stop making this fracking the boogeyman. Like it's this method that they've come up with have done some pretty miraculous things in order to help us when it comes to energy. So what's the latest on that?
Well, the fracking ban is another example where Vice President Harris has changed her position. She's on record saying she would support a fracking ban. She wants to get rid of fracking. Now she has walked away from it. And that's good. She should walk away from it. Half of our oil wells and more than two-thirds of our natural gas wells use fracking to extract more of this product. So if Kamala Harris no longer supports it, well, then what data set did she look at, right? And this is where she's avoiding the press and she's avoiding hard conversations. She supported a ban. Why? You no longer support a ban. Why? You have to ask her, what did you look at? What criteria? What data? What was brought to your attention to have you change your position? But she doesn't want to answer those questions. So she just says, I no longer support it, and we're supposed to accept her at her word. Quite frankly, as someone who works in the energy space, I don't accept that word. I think she wants to win, and I don't blame her. If I were running for office, I would want to win too. But these are not, you know, hey, Ryan, I used to like broccoli, and now I hate broccoli. I used to like this movie, now I like this movie, right? These are really fundamental questions, and the American people deserve honest answers why she's changed position.
No, I hear you on that. And are they trying to bring back this Green New Deal? Is that a thing again?
She sponsored it in the Senate when she was a senator. It received zero votes. Everybody voted present. Now she says she no longer supports it. But again, she's on record saying that she would suspend the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal. So again, what changed your position on the Green New Deal? You supported it as a senator. Now you don't support it as a presidential candidate. Stop treating the American people like children. Answer us honestly why you've changed position, or just assume that we all believe that you're saying what is convenient because you want to win.
Well, I think that's really the answer, right? Oh, boy. Polling shows that I need to say this, and then with a laugh at the end. Then she turns to her staff real quick. Should I laugh at that or not? They get the answer, and then she changes her approach to the question. Then she says, CBS, could you edit that part out, please? I would like to answer that again. Let's talk, too, about some of the different campaign promises. And you have Donald Trump saying that he's going to cut electricity prices. How do you do that? Like, logistically speaking, how is that even possible?
It's a bold promise. He has promised to cut electricity prices in half. As a reference point, nationally, we were paying around 11 cents per kilowatt hour for electricity in 2020, excuse me. Now we're paying 17.5 cents. So electricity has gone up considerably. And everybody who's listening to this wonderful show right now who pays an electric bill knows how much electricity has gotten expensive. For President Trump to say, I want to cut it in half, means we have to produce a lot more. That's opening natural gas plants. It's opening coal plants. It's opening nuclear plants. It is definitely doable. There's no doubt it is doable. But there's going to be a lot of political muscle necessary to build the infrastructure to produce more electricity at a lower cost. I'd love to see it because, as you just said, and you're absolutely right, electricity bill, these are the things that families are struggling with to pay every month. And cutting it in half sounds great, but woof, you're going to need a lot of muscle to get this through. I hope he does. I'm praying for it.
Yeah, I get this opportunity to do fill-in here, and you know, I lived in St. Louis for a long time, but I live in Michigan now, and one of the big projects in the west side of the state is this Palisades nuclear plant is going back online. So they removed the core, and now they're going through the process of reversing that so you can get nuclear energy back going. And it seems like that's going to be a new trend. For a while there, you talk about boogeyman power. That was like a great source of energy that they just went full blast. I don't want to say lying about it, but man, did they gave it a real bad shake. And absolutely, now they're coming around to it, and they really should have never have taken these plants offline to begin with. So you think we're going to see more reversals on that?
You're absolutely right. The anti-nuclear crowd did a wonderful job scaring the crap out of Americans that nuclear power is dangerous or is a threat. I will just say this to the American people. France generates almost 90% of its electricity from nuclear power, so much so that they sell the surplus to their neighbors, Switzerland, Germany, Spain, etc. So, I mean, not to play on stereotypes, it's kind of vulgar, but let's just do it. If the French aren't afraid of nuclear power, why are the Americans afraid of nuclear power? So absolutely. Not to mention, we have right now tens of thousands of young Americans on nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, submarines, and no one seems to claim that they're at any risk. So absolutely, we should embrace nuclear as much as we embrace coal, as much as we embrace natural gas. That's what's made our country prosperous. And the environmental left and the anti-nuclear and anti-fossil fuel crowd has scared Americans ridiculously. There's nothing to be afraid of. These are great technologies that make us prosperous and safe.
I guess, where are we when it comes to like solar panels and things? Are they more efficient than they were 10 years ago? Do you think it's going to be more of an option consumer-wise? Because, you know, they give this push and they want you to be able to put these things on your home, and they give government credits and money. Where are we when it comes to that technology?
Well, we've spent several hundred billion dollars in pushing it. This administration is clearly pushing wind, and they're pushing solar. They're inferior technologies, because there is a thing called night. Actually, we're getting very close to it right now, and your solar panels don't work. But when your solar panels don't work because of night, or the wind is not blowing and your wind turbines don't work, your electricity consumption hasn't decreased. You still want to make coffee. You still want a hot shower. You still want lights. And so what we need is electricity that works all of the time, and that is produced right now through fossil fuels and through nuclear. I called my organization Power the Future because I do not know what tomorrow is going to bring. Maybe one day we'll perfect these technologies, but we haven't perfected it now. And punishing ourselves now does not give us a better tomorrow. So let's just embrace our fossil fuel lifestyle. Let the technological geniuses figure out a better tomorrow. But right now, let's live as prosperously as we can.
And by the way, if people wanted to look up Power the Future online, anything like that, where can they go?
PowerTheFuture.com. Or, you know what, you got a question? Daniel@PowerTheFuture.com. Shoot me an email. I'd love to talk to you, and I'm thrilled to be on your show. So thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. No, I got more questions if you got time, but are there any other developing forms of energy out there that are promising, or are we just going to be stuck with inefficient stuff like solar and wind?
Well, I mean, you always hear about blue hydrogen. You hear about thorium. There's lots of things that are burgeoning. And again, who knows where they will lead? But right now, we know what works. We know that coal works. We know that natural gas works. More than half of our electric grid is powered by fossil fuels. And so unless you're willing to give that up and alter your lifestyle, which a lot of Americans, quite frankly, are not, right? We had a heat wave a couple of weeks. It seems hard to believe that a couple of weeks ago it was hot, but it was. Right now it's cold and we want the heat to work. Americans aren't really that willing to sacrifice the comfort of their life, nor should they be. That's what's great about America, the most prosperous nation on earth. So I don't know what these new technologies will be, but punishing ourselves now is not going to hasten their arrival. And you know, fossil fuels, by the way, this is why I fight for this industry. It does so much more than produce electricity. We're talking about electricity, right? Wind and solar produce electricity poorly, but that's all they do. But fossil fuels produce plastic and rubber and Tylenol and Tide Pods and millions of products around your home. And we can't make steel without coal. We can't make cement without coal. And how many of us are putting new shingles on the roof and we're putting new windows in? Those are all made from fossil fuels. And we've seen how expensive those products have become because we've punished fossil fuels. So we don't have a better present because of the Biden-Harris administration. And if Kamala Harris wins, I don't think we're going to have a better tomorrow either.
Yeah, and I keep thinking about the way the policies are pushing things, you know, trying to force the hand in a certain direction that may not be the smartest. And I mean, you remember when we went through a time and they said, okay, this is the way we're going to help with our energy consumption. We need to make your home a little bit more energy efficient. So we're going to try to help you upgrade the insulation in your roof, or we're going to put better windows in, things like that. They seem to have completely abandoned efficiency anymore. They just have gone full blown. We have to adapt to this by putting billions of dollars into technology. We don't.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No one will ever pay off.
Well, it's a great point. And this is where government doesn't always know the answers, or quite frankly, makes life more difficult, because this administration in particular, they have given huge tax credits for weatherization, weather-efficient windows, weather-efficient shingles. And you say, okay, fine, they want you to be more efficient, here are your tax credits. But purchasing all those products requires a lot of fossil fuels, and they've punished fossil fuel industry and made those products more expensive. So how do you have a government policy on the one hand that says, buy energy-efficient shingles? Oh, and by the way, we're going to make energy-efficient shingles really expensive by making oil, gas, and coal really expensive. So this is where government just doesn't know what it's doing. And when you have a lot of ideology and you have a lot of power, sometimes you get chaos. And that's where we are with our inflation. That's where we are with our consumer pricing. We're in chaos because people who don't know how the world works, don't know how farming works, don't know how manufacturing works, they've had a lot of power to affect change, but they don't have a lot of understand of what they've actually done. So that has been the crux of this campaign right now and this entire presidential cycle. We feel chaos, and we haven't even talked about world policy, because you look at what's happening in the world based upon energy prices. We've got chaos in the world, too. So I think people just want to return to a little bit of normalcy, and stability of markets is a great place to start.
Yep. All right. Powerthefuture.com. That's the website?
That's the website. And like I said, it's great to be on. Or shoot me an email, daniel@powerthefuture.com. Tell me your questions, your concerns. Tell me what you think I'm wrong. I'd love to talk to folks, because this is what I do for a living.
Awesome. Daniel Turner, CEO, Power the Future. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate
great
it.
Great time. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You as well. We have one more segment left until it's the weekend. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.